may simply be that you're listening to a radio station. Hey, I can hear music, the Beach Boys, and I'm sure in California at present, as it's just past, it's 2 a.m. in California, so they might be hearing music in all sorts of ways. We welcome back to the Southside Studios for a return visit, because she was so good the last time, and she's been doing phone links as well, the wonderful Rachel Teat. How are you, Rachel?
I'm fantastic, this lovely Sunday morning.
Indeed. Now, when last you were featured in the studio, we were talking obviously with Alan Stevens, we were talking about Doctor Who, and you said, well, I'll catch a bit of it when Strictly's actually on, sort of precursor to that stuff. Have you managed to catch any more, or is it a case of no? You just set it for Strictly and that's all.
I've set it for Strictly and that's all. Okay, well, I look forward to the reviews from Alan, though.
Indeed, so, and of course the recent revelations that possibly, thanks to our colleagues in Starburst magazine, Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall might be leaving the series.
Really?
After a fairly short time. I mean, there's talk about only doing 6 episodes next year and then heading off. Really, so maybe Jodie just wants to become one of those resting actors who effectively just do a bit, move on from various other bits and pieces, which is a different line. We've got not just one, but 2 absolutely awesome tunes by, yes, it is time, William Shatner.
Oh.
I know, William Shatner. If you have ever encountered his Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, you will find that William Shatner doing Christmas carols is frankly one of the most awesome experiences ever. We've got a number of possible selections for that, and we'll be weaving that in and out of the programme together with a few other sort of festive tunes as well. But for now, Katie Melua, I Will Be There.
Smile when we are
and as well as Rachel Stevens there. Easily confused. Also, I believe a Capricorn, but there we are. Now, as Rachel Teat would actually say, she will be there, and you will be there as well, won't you, Alan Stevens?
Well, I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Here, there, and everywhere. Okay, Rachel, as you know, keen Strictly follower, or maybe you don't know, and indeed was keen to see the Cyberman edition of the Halloween Strictly Come Dancing, was aware of the title Kablammit, but ultimately, whether it's James I, whether it's Witchfinders, whether it's Kablammit, the world awaits, Alan. What is your particular view on another couple of episodes, which, of course, since we last spoke, has the whole Chibnall universe seems to be exploding with people saying, what, if you didn't like the job, why did you actually take it in the first place? What do you mean you're leaving, etc., etc.? So, where do you want to start?
Oh, dear. Leaving. Is that official or is that just rumour still? I'm not sure.
It's rumours, but because it actually was launched via Starburst magazine, which, as we both know, is relatively
accurate.
Exactly, and credible, there's a general feeling that, yeah, and of course Jodie said, well, if Chris goes, I'm going. Of course, as Peter Capaldi did.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think Capaldi was, from what I understand, or what I've heard of a rumour, is that Capaldi actually was willing to stay on, but the BBC said, well, you can stay on, but you get a pay cut, which is effectively to say, we don't want you. So they were very keen on having a female doctor.
Yeah.
Originally, the idea was rumour was that it was, or belief anyway, it was Chibnall who brought in the idea of the female doctor, but apparently it wasn't. It was the BBC executives who wanted a female doctor as far back as Capaldi, but Moffat refused. And instead feminized or made the master female. So,
Exactly.
All bets are off them. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, ballpark figure. I mean, I'll officially say Rachel Teat is available as a qualified actress with a card, etc. She could take over as a doctor.
I could do it. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
You're around. You could actually sort of cut the tap to answering. You can actually go straight in there.
I can do. Yeah, a borough doctor. Why not?
There you go.
Moving up in Yorkshire, you see. We've got Jodie from sort of Huddersfield. And it would have clearly followed through, so you could relay that through the system, Alan.
Well,
but
every planet has a north, as it
would. Every planet has a north.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot what I was saying there. I mean, it's bizarre. I remember David Maloney, who was the producer on Blake 7, he said that when the show started, you know, you never should know if it's going to go a second season or whatever, and he said that he had a contract for on all of them, except Travis, because he was a later addition to the show, and except Servran as well. He had a contract on for 2 years. So if after the first year, you know, one of them didn't want to remain, he would be able to prevent that and keep them there. And that's why Gareth Thomas left at the end of season two, even though he would probably have left a lot earlier. And I also understand that... So the idea is you can sack them, but the actor actually can't leave unless you give the go-ahead. So I also understand that was on the same thing with Chris Reckles as well. Chris Reckles effectively was sacked. So it seems bizarre that they would have Jodie Whittaker, they'd bring her aboard and not put a two-year or even three-year contract on her. It seems like a complete mess-up that originally they had Chibnall. He didn't want to do it, and finally they persuaded him to do it. And it was supposed to be on some sort of 18-month turnaround. And then, because of the success so far of season 11, the BBC came back and said, no, we want a season next year. And he said, OK, well, I'll do 6 episodes and I'll go. So, I mean, you know, I don't think there was a very clever setup there for the BBC, was it, really? Because if he was reluctant to do it in the first place, I would have, you know, either got someone else or put a contract on, like Tony Brooker. He likes Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
He does. He's very successful. Series called Black Mirror. You know, I think he would be. He would be a great producer or showrunner on Doctor Who.
Indeed.
So,
and of course, there's always the specter of Mark Gatiss, I suppose, but maybe not.
No, there is not. There's spectre of him, yeah, haunting us.
I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's.
He's probably the second worst writer to have worked on New Who. or perhaps third, I don't know.
Alan, I don't mince my words, Stevens, with the full view there. So, by the way, congratulations to your partner, Fiona Moore, for getting another one of her delightful stories and narratives in that fantastic science fiction publication that, I was going to say it's Locus. Is it Locus? No, it isn't Locus. It's anyway, she's had one of her stories published, which is fantastic, and it's all about giant ants and Donald Trump.
Lovely.
I did say it was an ideal for an audio adaptation. She said it's a bit visual. I said the radio is the theatre of the mind. Anyway, I just wanted to relay that.
There you go.
moving on, Alan, which one do you want to go for? Do you want to go through chronological order? Or are you kablamming?
Well, kablam it with the story. Cindy for last, isn't it? And which episode was that? That was episode... So it's episode 9 tonight, isn't it? So that must be an episode
7. It'll be 7.
Yeah, episode 7. Kablam it. Right, yeah. Didn't like that at all, actually. Not like very, very badly written like that Satsuma conundrum or whatever it was called. But it was... I didn't like the underlying message. You had this setup where you effectively end up as a... You go to a planet and there's a very low employment, and if you have a job, you're very lucky, and people have worked in these awful, Sports Direct style, Amazon style factories, and you've even got an ankle bracelet, like people call them Roman have, so they know everywhere where you are, and you're following around by these spooky robots who keep asking you to, stop talking and put your back into it, and one of the employees turns out, although he's doing this job of cleaner, so you go there and you have your mind analysed, and they say, okay, right, you'll be a cleaner, or you'll be the guy who puts the element in the box and all this stuff. And this guy apparently was a qualified cyberneticist, and goodness knows what other qualification he had. I decided to re-rig the system to send out these Kablamit androids to deliver explosives to the customer. So the idea would be that, several thousand customers would be blown up, and there would be a robophobic reaction against the machines, and this would therefore, bring back employment to people. But apparently this guy was obviously, considered a terrorist and killed, and the doctor at the end of it says, oh, well, bye then, and leaves them. And, in this awful factory thing continues. Previously, when you had situated... There was a story called Bad Wolf Parting the Ways, which goes right back to the Eccleston era.
And directed by Graham Harper, of course.
And directed... No, it wasn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really,
it wasn't. It was a her.
It was Christopher Eccleston. You're quite right. And indeed, Graham didn't start until the season afterwards.
He did.
Thank you.
He started off with Age of Steel, Rise of Cybermen.
We're just testing his scholarly credentials there, Rachel.
Good, just checking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe O'Hearn was a devote. Apparently, Graham Harper was down for that, but at the time there was a lot of antipathy between Eccleston and the production team, and Joe O'Hearn, who was very close to, and also a very good director, was very close to Eccleston, say, well, now I want Joe O'Hearn to do it. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing against Graham.
If memory serves, I think Graham was also busily ensconced with Jonas Armstrong in Robin Hood at that time as well.
Oh, yeah, Graham's always doing stuff. Very busy director and very good one as well. But anyway, going back to Bad Wolf Parting the Ways, in that story, the Doctor lands on Earth, lands on a Satellite 5 and discovers it's now called the Game Station. And there's all these, quite appalling lowbrow TV shows being broadcast down to Earth, like Big Brother and various gardening programs and all this stuff, with a twist where it's gone to the point now where, if you are evicted from Big Brother, hey, so you're actually killed with a laser beam.
They just cancelled the series now, so obviously it's just one way forward.
Well, they don't bring it back, you see. They bring it back via Adam, because there was a guy called Adam who... we're continually going off the thread here. The point is that behind, behind the horror were the Daleks. So the Doctor comes along, there's something wrong there, he sees a system, he gets involved in the system, and then suddenly he discovers that you know, it's been set up by the Daleks, mm-hmm. and they're the villains behind it. Well, there should be villains behind this Sports Direct thing.
Yes, but Chris Chibnall made it quite explicitly clear that there were going to be no returning villains at all.
Well, yes, but the point is that the setup, we've got Doctor Who is a series of formulas and formats in whatever, and there is nothing behind Kablam. It doesn't have to be the Daleks, it could be the whatever he wants to make up. But there was nothing behind them. It was just, she comes along, one of the employees is a... you know, it wants to fight back. He's branded a terrorist, killed, and then she leaves, and the system continues as it was. If it's, that's fine, that's okay. You know, you were all, you know, living basically on low wages and boring jobs with ankle bracelets on, and everyone else is unemployed. And that's okay. And the middle management says, well, we're trying to get people employed. That's okay. Bye. And she leaves. So, I mean, you know, perhaps this is preparing us for Brexit Britain or something, but I thought that was a...
And yet, Rachel, as you pointed out, it did actually star Hayley from Coronation Street.
It did, and Lee Mack, the comedian as well.
Who's Lee Mack?
The comedian.
I've never heard of
him. There we are.
He was in it. It said on the credits.
Exactly. It was very exciting. It was almost as exciting as Alan Cumming being also, James the First.
Also, Fiona pointed out that economically it doesn't work, because you've got a situation where, you know... well, you can see where we're heading at the moment, can't you? That, you know, the people are in low-paid jobs, and they can't... I mean, at one point, one of the girls says, you know, I sit here dreaming about, wouldn't it be great if I received a present? And once I did receive a present, you know, my parents had saved up, and I received a parcel from Kablamet, you know, and so they're all on low wages. You know, there's the entire galaxy.
Are you saying, Alan, that the entire galaxy of these folk are actually comprised of actors, all on low wages? Surely not.
What I'm saying is the planet has that particular firm on that planet had 10,000 employees, and that was one of the highest employers in the galaxy. So it must mean that, you know, let's say there's 7 billion people on Earth. Let's say in the galaxy there are, I don't know, 100 billion people. That means, you know, about 99 billion people are unemployed. So who is buying this product?
This is true.
It must be, you know, the 1%
niche marketing.
But they cannot continue to buy. You know, if someone gave me £1 million, oh, I wouldn't buy a car because I can't drive. But I would if I gave you £1 million, you might buy a new car. But you're not going to.
Rachel, let's just test this. What would you know? Alan just writes a check out for you for £1 million, bank transfer, etc. What would you spend it on?
I'd buy a car. Let's say.
Well. You'd buy a car, but you wouldn't buy 1,000 cars, would you? But you'd need to buy 1,000 cars if you're going to keep this process up of the car industry working. So people with low wages can't buy these products, and therefore eventually the entire system collapses because no one there to buy it.
And that is the essence of capitalism.
That's the essence of the capitalism, the predatory capitalism we've got at the moment. And that is the essence which effectively has been set up in this episode. But it's not remotely... confronted. It's presented as if this is normal, which is a bit worrying, I think. So I thought that was probably the worst episode of Ian. No, I don't know. Satsuma conundrum is still pretty bad, isn't it? So I
really disliked that one.
It was all sorts of... Well, let's take a momentary break and let's take a slight detour to what is already being described as the best Christmas album ever. What's wrong with it? Absolutely nothing. 5-star reviews around the whole thing. The album title, of course, is It's All by Shatner Claus, as in William Shatner. Yeah?
Brilliant.
Yeah? Shatner Claus.
That's amazing.
Yeah? And, I mean, frankly, I listened to this driving back from Lincoln to Teesside yesterday, and frankly, it just made the whole journey just whiz by, like at warp speed. Aww. Warp speed in so many ways. Alan, you're privileged, because this is the day, first Sunday of Advent, of course, where we launch William Shatner, Shatner Claus. Series of events from that point of view, and you'll be delighted to know that you have a delightful song called Winter Wonderland. Okay, so are you ready for this? Delivered, of course, in his unique Shatner-esque manner by the great Captain Kirk himself.
There you go.
A little bit of Todd Rundgren. Here it goes.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow, we can build a snowman. and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'd say, "Are you married?" We'll say, "No, Matt. But you can do the job when you're in town." Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland. Build a snowman and pretend that he's a circus clown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kids knock him down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chilling, we'll frolic and play the Eskimo way, walking in a winter wonderland to face unafraid the plans that we've made, walking in a winter wonderland, walking in a winter wonderland.
I'm not sure whether, of course, it was a critical comment, but one of our speakers in the studio has actually sort of ceased to work on the basis of William Shatner with Todd Rundgren and Winter Wonderland, or Shatner might say, Winter Wonderland. Alan, did you enjoy that little sequence?
I think enjoy is not the word. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't... I mean, yes, it's funny, and I've heard him do Rocket Man as well, and Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. But I kind of think that this is the worst thing he's ever done. I mean, it's hilarious. But it's sort of out of sync with the music.
Yeah. Well, if it helps, not that it will, of course, we will be actually asking Rachel to make the decision as to whether we should go for our second Shatner number. Yes, we will have to. It's Sunday, you see, so we deserve to have a second number, which would either be his interpretation of Little Drummer Boy, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, 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 or Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Ooh.
Didn't someone else do Little Drummer Boy?
Oh, lots of people have done Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, no, it was David Bowie, wasn't it?
It was,
He's got muddled up.
And, of course, the David Bowie, Bing Crosby classic still sort of rests today, Peace on Earth and The Little Drummer Boy, which is just awesome.
Peace on Earth, that'll be interesting. Yeah, we'll go for that one.
So where do you wish to go with the... I mean, I think Rachel's pointed out...
Kablamet. Yeah. I mean, I'll just say one more thing about Kablamet, actually. It's quite amusing that you took these presents or books and stuff and you wrapped it up in bubble wrap and sent it off. And you say, well, why do you send it off, put it in bubble wrap, you know, to protect it? And yet, when it arrived in the tote tin, it sort of flew off the end of a conveyor belt and fell about 6 to 10 inches and went smack straight onto some plastic, plastic tote. So really, I kind of feel that either the gap needs to be, shorter between the tote and the...
Is this the credibility gap you're talking about?
Or I think you just need to put the bubble wrap on earlier. Also, if the bubble wrap explodes, it popped, then surely it could blow up in the factory, couldn't it?
Well, everything's possible.
I don't think this story was thought through. Apparently, this guy's written another thing. Someone online was saying, oh, well, I'm not surprised it didn't make any sense because this guy had done another show, which also didn't make any sense, so I don't know about... I just didn't think it was very good.
Okay.
But the next story is called... The Witch Finders, wasn't it? And that was the best story of the season so far. Alan Cumming, who played King James, famous for the Bible, which he didn't write, was hilariously camp. It was very well directed. There was still this info dumping in it. I mean, I think the problem was that I recently watched. A Doctor Who story called The Witch's Familiar and the something apprentice, I can't remember what it was now, it was a Dalek one anyway, and I watched it last week because at the moment on iPlayer you can download the entire oeuvre of 21st Century Doctor Who, and I just, for some bizarre reason, I was talking to someone about it. I think I was talking to a guy called Nick Griffiths about it, and he said he didn't understand this or whatever, and I watched it, and I started writing sort of a review of it at night on Facebook. And so anyway,
never a good idea when you start writing at night on Facebook.
I don't do most of my writing on Facebook, so it's good. It can't be too bad an idea. But the thing is that the next day I had about 30 hits on it, and people were saying, oh, good, thank goodness, if someone's explained that story, I had no idea what it was about. And so it seems that a lot of Moffat stuff, kind of, you know, you have to kind of sit down and think about it and get it the slide rule. But a lot of people don't kind of understand it, and I think there was this belief within the BBC that the show was too complicated for the audience, and so they said to Christian, well, you've got to explain everything, you know, so you've got these huge info dumps from the Doctor, which is a bit unnatural, and he's basically explaining it all along, you know, so people understand it. So he's still kind of got that, but it wasn't quite as obvious as it is in a lot of the earlier stories. The dialogue was very good on the whole, and the acting was good, and the direction was good, so I'd give that, probably 9 out of 10. I give The Witchfinder is 9 out of 10, where I give Kablam probably minus 5, I think.
And so we have reached the end of that little sequence, which I think, Rachel, we have felt duly informed about, without being dumped upon.
What's the online stuff you were saying?
Well, if you actually use YouTube or indeed Facebook or social media sites, you'll find our American friends in particular have been claiming that actually this is the worst series of Doctor Who ever, that the political correctness brigade at the BBC have ruined the entire ethos of the whole thing, and collectively Jodie and Chris Chibnall have effectively destroyed and damaged the series forever.
Well, certainly there are... last week... I came across a video, you know, when some guy drones on and plays clips or whatever, by an American, going through it and saying exactly that. Somehow there was, third wave feminism, whatever that is, and how it was politically correct. And the BBC, politically correct, who hate white men, and I thought, well, being most of the BBC executives are white men, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Masochist.
But he was going on about how, you know, it was all these things you were saying, and then also making reference back to Star Wars and The Last of a Jedi, and how also that was political correctness gone mad. And I don't know what's happening to America. I mean, clearly... You know,
I don't think America knows what's happening to America.
No, I think... I don't know whether it was these people the ones who got Trump in, or whether Trump is basically, you know, taking these people off the leash. But there was one thing said. It was concerning the episode... Now, what was it called? The ghosts, that the demons of the Punjab, and said that this guy was, you know, saying that this people who came to our country, came to Britain with a completely incompatible religion. So you know, apparently, though this woman had lived in Sheffield for 40 years, she shouldn't be here. Effectively, I mean, this is kind of. Nazi style racism.
It is quite an interesting perspective, but still, that's the duty of the human race on the planet Earth, the third rock from the sun. Rachel, would you like to ask those last two questions to Alan Stevens, please? Oh, you've forgotten momentarily what they are. It's okay. Has he had a reasonably interesting chat, and is he coming back again?
Oh, have you had a reasonably interesting chat, Alan?
Yes, I suppose so.
You certainly informed me about Kablam. I don't think I'll be catching up with that one. But it is the most popular thing on iPlayer at the minute, apparently, along with Killing Eve. So people are watching.
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the ratings there's a lot of, again, on this video, you know, the right-wing lunatics saying, oh, the ratings are falling off. Well, all ratings on Doctor Who would start high, no matter who you're starting with, whether it's Eccleston or David Tennant, who's considered to be the greatest Doctor of the 21st century, but I would disagree with that, or Smith or Capaldi. They all start high during a season and then slightly, you know, and then there's a drop. So there's nothing new there. And equally, the ratings are, I think the average at the moment still is about 7.8. Season-wide, I mean, we don't know what the next two episodes are going to tell us, but that still makes it one of the...
Which is why the BBC want another season, but then Chris Chibnall said, I'm going to do 6, and how he managed to only do 6 when Russell T. Davies managed to do 12 and a Christmas special, I don't know, but there we are.
I really don't know what's going on there. I mean, he has his own production company, doesn't he? So he prefers to work with his own production company, does with the BBC. It seems crazy. I mean, if you've got something that's a success, no matter... I mean, it could be, on the one hand, he's a bit thin-skinned, and people like me coming on and saying the Satsuma affair is terrible. Or it could be a case of...
He was weeping at that line.
Yeah, it's us. What's happened is, last two Sundays back, he gets up, switches on, and here's, you know, here's this me going on.
It doesn't have to be a Sunday. You can download the podcast. Lots of people do.
That's it. We've ruined it for him.
It's us. Yeah. It's all our fault.
Yeah. It's that combination of Teesside, the Forest of Dean, and Southside Broadcasting.
I think someone was saying to me yesterday, he says, you know, could they ever have another male doctor? Maybe they have a female doctor.
Plus, I'm looking for a canine doctor. Hmm? See what I did there?
Yes.
Canine doctor. No, whatever.
I think they can't, can they, really? They have to have... I mean, if Jodie Whittaker leaves next season...
Rachel Teete, we've already been there.
Yeah, I'm available. Yeah.
Rachel Heat will have to Teete, play...
Teete, exactly.
...step into the breach, like David Tennant did when Eccleston left.
Exactly.
And she will have to become the new doctor.
Rachel is Sylvester McCoy-sized, so it would fit on that sort of basis, which is great. So
I'd option myself for 3 seasons.
Nice.
Sorted.
That's right. Option yourself for 3... Well, say, yeah, that's right. Do that. And you can play it as what do you want to play as a Scotswoman or a Cockney?
Because a Geordie doctor. You could
a Geordie doctor. Wow.
Tennant did that, didn't he? David Tennant. He actually is Scottish, and yet he had this Mockney accent for 3 seasons.
He did indeed do the.
I don't quite know why he did that. Do you?
Well, because the world wasn't ready for a Scottish doctor after Sylvester McCoy.
After McCoy.
Yes.
I said, ooh, that's a bit mean.
Ooh, I know. Yes, well, there we are. It's the first second. It's the first Sunday of Advent. Rachel and Alan, Little Drummer Boy or Twas the Night Before Christmas?
I think Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Oh, I didn't know. Good for Drummer Boy. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Who's got the Piper one? Which is Peace on Earth? Which one's that?
That is Little Drummer Boy.
That is Little Drummer Boy. Go on then, I'll let you.
No,
I'll let you go
Alex,
for that
Alex,
one.
Rachel has actually sort of been very gracious there. She's taking on the mantle of being the 14th Doctor to actually sort of go for a Little Drummer Boy, and that is what we will go for.
Go for him,
exactly. So,
like an Alsatian.
Will you be back again with us, Alan?
When?
Very soon, probably a fortnight from the time I would have thought from now. Really, all being well, after we've seen the end of the season finale.
Yeah. Is that written by Chris Chibnall?
Probably.
That'd be terrible then.
Thank the Lord we got William Shatner. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
Yeah.
Come, they told me. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. A newborn king to see. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. To lay before the king. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. So, to honor him. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. When we come. Little baby. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I'm a poor boy too. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I have no gift to bring. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. That's fit to give our king. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum. Rumble bum bum on my drum. Mary nodded. Rumble bum bum. The ox and lamb kept time. Rumble bum bum bum. I played my drum for him. Rumble bum bum. Rumble bum bum. Played my best for him. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. When we come, then he smiled at me. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Me and my drum. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. 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 Pum. Rap-a-pum-pum. Rap-a-pum-pum-pum. Me and my drum. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Me and my drum.
Me and my drum.
Rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum.
You just have to have silence after that, really, Rachel, because little else we can say.
Indeed.
What a treat for our listener exclusively this morning for the James Cook University Hospital and indeed our podcast listener when they actually get to listen to that in full. It's great. And of course, the whole album is full of little treats, which we'll be sharing with you over the next 4 weeks as we head up to Christmas time. So never let it be said we don't spoil you. Don't forget, we've also got our sister station, Siren Radio Online, sirenonline.co.uk, providing all sorts of great stuff as well. You can contact us at Southside Broadcasting by telephone. I know, it's astounding. We still actually have an answer phone system that's actually in there, which I took a couple of messages this morning. 01642 854742. That's 01642 854742. And have the dedications or anything else. You can use email to send details to us at info@southsideradio.com. After all, Rachel, that's how you're sitting here today, really.
It was. I dropped you an email and here I am.
Whoa, that's it. So info@southsideradio.com. Or you can contact us via Facebook, which some people do as well, which is facebook.com/southsidebroadcasting. And if you fancy Twitter, why not? Little tweety birds. twitter.com/southsidebroadc. Instagram is something we don't necessarily have for Southside. I have a whole individual thing. I haven't quite Insta. Maybe you'd like to take charge of our Instagram account.
Oh, we could start up an Insta.
Yeah, we should really, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be very, very sort of... but as long as we don't start saying things like totes amaze balls.
I don't think that would fit, really.
I don't think so, no.
No.
It wouldn't, really. So that has wrapped up our little festive, pre-festive, first Advent calendar season. Thanks to Alan Stevens for assisting in that particular routine. We'll be going out with a bit of Neil Diamond. And then, as I look ahead, we've got Tina Turner, we've got Blondie, we've got Cher, we've got Ollie Murs, we've got the Alan Parsons Project, we've got Bread, David Essex and Chicago to take us through the next part of the production. Has it been fun for you, Rachel?
It has indeed.
Marvellous. So we'll see you again. Well, actually, we'll be hearing from you probably, maybe not on Wednesday because it's last tap of the day.
Last tap, yep. I've done 10 sessions and I'm moving up to intermediate.
Well, maybe we can actually move you in on a Thursday morning again. Who knows? We'll see about that. But you'll be back in possibly Friday morning.
Yes, possibly.
Marvellous.
Look at us now, part of it all. It's spite of it all, we're still around. So wake up the kids and put on some tea. Let's light up the tree. It's Christmas Day, and you make it feel like Christmas. You know I do, babe.